Eurovision. Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland! Oh, praise of everything.
And welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. It's great to have you back, and we're back with another fantastic episode on the way. We've got a big episode on the way with Eurovision's very own Eurosong 2023. We're holding our own vote. We've got you guys involved. We've got an international jury. We've got an Irish jury. So it's a big episode coming up for you today. It's going to be split into two parts, though, because there's just so much content to discuss. But yeah, very exciting times. Louise, how are you doing?
Tiwich, King Queen Welty Tongama. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. I'm very, very excited for this next segment in the Eurosong series. I think it's only right that we really now get into the nitty gritty, delve into the songs, the tracks, discuss them, what we're hoping to see. I suppose as well, we should acknowledge, you know, over the last few weeks, Connor and I have had a fantastic time chatting to 5 out of the 6 artists. We have so much respect for those 5. We have so much time for them. I think we are going to find it a little bit difficult to really get into the nitty gritty and pick out our favourites, aren't we, Connor? Because hand on heart, I think I would be happy with any of those 5 going.
Yeah, absolutely.
To Eurovision.
Yeah.
So I don't want this to become too personal a thing either.
I think we're just stripping it back to the song.
You feel like you're talking about your friends.
That can be hard. Yeah, no, it is. And it's sad as well. I think either way on Friday night, we'll be disappointed in a sense, because we'll feel, you know, there's going to be five losers, but 4 of our friends, essentially, who lose out.
Pals of the podcast.
Yeah. So it's going to be a bittersweet moment on Friday to get the winning song, but also to see some journeys with Eurosong 2023 come to an end.
Yeah.
But like we said to all of them are now part of the Eurovision family, particularly in Ireland, because once you're in, you're never going.
People will follow you, want to see what you're doing. They'll want you to come back the following year with a new track.
They'll be in your DMs, they'll be everywhere. So
go to your gigs.
Yeah.
All the rest will be there.
Yeah.
And I suppose as well, along with all of the episodes we've been doing, our socials have been really busy too. Do hop over to our Instagram at Eurovision Podcast and our Twitter, Eurovision Pod. Particularly our Instagram, the last little while, there's been a lot of interesting discussion going on there. One thing that did come up from a follower on our Instagram was asking Connor and I how we feel about Eurosong. Almost, I think the question was, do we feel that the Eurosong selection is a good thing for Ireland going forward? What would you say, Connor?
Is it good going forward? I think based on 2023, in terms of the song quality, it is. I guess it's more transparent for us as fans because we get a selection of songs. We can choose it, essentially, you know, whereas before it's locked behind doors, no involvement, whereas we have a say this time around. Eurosong, though, essentially needs to leave the Late Late Show. It needs to be a standalone format. I don't know if I'm too optimistic, but I do feel that they are building a brand within the Late Late, and hopefully for RTÉ executives, if it becomes successful and, you know, within Eurovision, and also within the community and people liking the concept of it, that they eventually take it out. Now, I am probably being so optimistic.
Maybe if you were in charge, Connor. Someone with some good sense on their shoulders. Yeah, maybe. But
yeah, I don't know. I just feel like last year, you know, we got graphics, different graphics. It wasn't the Late Late graphics. We had a studio we got a scoreboard kind of sense. Yeah. You know, there was little elements.
We have to acknowledge what was there.
Yeah, so there was small little milestones that we achieved. Now, like you said, am I just being too optimistic? I probably am. But I do feel that it can work. And based on our discussions with Keely and in our interview, Michael Keely, that's the head of delegation for Ireland at RT, he did say that it was something that might be interest to the new head of entertainment at RT in years to come. So hopefully, you know, maybe, possibly, fingers crossed that it happens. But I do think it is a better way of selecting our artist for the moment. I would, of course, make plenty of changes. You know, I would overhaul the format because I think it's too short of a thing. But I think it's the essence of it, it is better than what we've had before.
It's funny because when we got this question, you said yes and I said no. Yeah. But we actually, like, we're on the exact same page.
Okay.
But the reason why mine is kind of ultimately a no, that I don't think it's good for us going forward, is the Late Late. And I've been so vocal saying that. I've discussed it with Michael Keely himself. He understands where we're coming from with that. I understand the maybe restraints that he is seeing within RT with regard to getting a standalone show. Like, we get all of that. I just think that I'm acknowledging there's a lot of good things going on. The sound quality's gone up. I can acknowledge that the voting is good. I'm glad there's the international vote, the Irish vote, and the public vote. But for as long as it is on the Late Late Show, I can't support it, because you'll hear further now in our discussions just how much that Late Late space hinders what could be fantastic, interesting songs. Like, you just wonder, are we going to lose a really great potential Eurovision song or songs because that studio is not suitable for good staging? And will those songs, unfortunately, be lost to the Late Late studio? I think there's a possibility with at least one of them, if not with more of them, and I don't think that's right. So ultimately, my answer is no. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On Friday the 3rd, only a few days away now.
You talk about the studio there. I just want to quiz you a bit, because you talk about the studio. How would you feel if they did keep it within the Late Late, but go to, you know, they've done specials in London and in the country and stuff like that. How would you feel about even if they moved out of that studio?
Much better.
Much better.
Much better.
Okay.
Still don't love the whole panel discussing each song and all that hoo-ha going on. But if the space is better, I would feel better about it. I mean, Connor, you and I only were randomly watching some of those live on tape videos the other day, and Brooke's one. God love her. It was horrific in that Late Late studio. Mm-hmm. Look at the difference between that and the Turin stage. Like, there's no comparison. Yeah. So,
but she even said it herself, you know, the Late Late Show studio does not prepare you for Eurovision. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing prepares you for Eurovision, but you can do things to prepare yourself for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giving acts a space that they feel, okay, it's not like Eurovision, but it gives me that sense of performing to a large audience within my own country. Mm. Brooke never had that. She had that in Amsterdam. She had that in Madrid and stuff, but not at home, where it essentially is most important. So, I think we're both...
Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
A few days to go. We'll see what we get on Friday night. But I think we should get stuck in now, because we had to have a panel for discussing this. We couldn't be on our own.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
We had to invite some friends to the podcast on Micheál and Micheál. I think, Connor, without further ado, let's take it away.
Here we go. Right, guys, here we go with our Eurosong 2023 panel discussion. We're going to go through each of the six songs competing. And of course, we can't do it alone. So we're delighted to be joined by two very special guests. Our first guest is the founder and reactor on Eurovision Hub. It is Melfest Micheál, as we call him on the podcast. But Micheál, okay, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys? I feel like a wee fanboy. I listen to this podcast like every week when I'm cleaning my apartment, or if I'm just having a wee coffee, or if I'm walking around. So thank you for having me on.
Tell us a quick bit about yourself, Melfest Micheál, for anyone listening to the podcast who hasn't come across you before. I'm sure most people have. Mm.
So like you guys said, I'm the founder of Eurovision Hub, the home of Eurovision reactions. Yeah, and I'm living in Stockholm, which is maybe where you've got Melfest Mihal from. I'm there every year, making contact with the contestants. I'm obsessed with it. And yeah, I'm from Derry as well, in case you haven't heard the accent.
He's a Derry boy.
Derry boy? I love flyers.
Have you got your passport safely somewhere?
Jesus, Mama, is my passport over there?
And Melfest Mihal, what's your link to Connor and I? How do we all know each other?
So me and you, Louise, we go way back. So hang on, when did this start? Like 2018?
2017, end of 2017.
You reached out and wanted to join the channel. We got you on board. We loved you. And then since then, we've just kind of stayed super close. And then Connor, I know you from Twitter. And then I got you on board to help out with some videos and some graphics and stuff at Eurovision Hub. And then we finally met in Turin last year all together. Well, I met Louise previously, but us four all met in Turin.
Yeah, it's Turin crew. Yeah.
A separate podcast could be just a story time.
Literally, the stories of Turin.
You guys are my Eurovision husbands. I'm not joking. The three of you are like my guys.
It's like an open relationship.
Right.
On that note, we need to go to our next special guest, the other member of the Turin crew. He is also called Mihal. He does great work with the Eurovision site ESC Extra, and he's also incredibly extra on Twitter. Glasgow Mihal, welcome.
Aloha.
Hi, how are you? Tell us a bit about yourself, Glasgow Mihal, please.
Yeah, as you said, I do some writing for ESC Extra, and I basically live on Twitter a little bit too much. I also make some TikTok videos of my rankings that get a lot of angry comments. It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm just obsessed with Eurovision, and I always have been, so yeah, that's me.
And we call you Glasgow Mihal because you're there.
I'm here for university. So I was obviously really upset when Glasgow didn't get Eurovision this year, but you know, it'll be great in Liverpool.
And given your obsession with Twitter, as you've mentioned, it's probably obvious how you know Connor and I.
Yeah. I think, Louise, it all started with me and you with a simple tweet. Ding dong, you're wrong, I think it was said.
It's very unusual to start off a friendship on like a mini argument, but that's myself and Glasgow Mihal to a T, I think.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that kind of sums up our friendship since then. Yeah, and then Connor, obviously, we've known each other from Twitter and from group chats and things like that. So, and we've all obviously met in Turin, which is a lot of fun. So, yeah.
My like favorite memory with the three of you guys is being on the train from Milan. Like, we met Mihal in Milan.
Oh god.
Glasgow Mihal, and meeting, so myself, Connor, and Glasgow Mihal got on the train from Milan to Turin. Melfest Mihal was already there, and me, like myself and Glasgow Mihal, in all honesty, tormenting poor Connor on the train. Like, we just didn't stop arguing and chatting rubbish the whole way. And then I'm there on the train like, I wonder what's up with Melfest Mihal. I must text him. I must see what the crack is. The lad's trying to put me off, me going into the bathroom when I arrive.
And you took forever to come out. My God, we were literally like, where is she?
There was an issue in the bathroom. There was a problem with the toilet. And I came out giving out about this.
Oh yeah, you literally came out.
So me. I came out like all worked up about like this issue I've just had. And gorgeous Melfest Mihal is there waiting to give me a hug. And
it was really cute. It was really cute. Seeing your reaction was so cute.
I love you guys.
I think I was hiding behind Mihal and Connor, and then I just peeped up and I was like, hey, we misses. And you were like,
I love you guys. We love you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. There's nobody else we would have wanted to do this with.
Absolutely.
Should we get stuck in, Connor?
Yeah, may as well. So we're going to kick it off in the running order of how the songs were revealed. So the first song we're going to discuss is Aji, Too Good For Your Love. Glasgow Mícheál, do you want to kick us off and let us know your thoughts on the song?
Yeah, it's a bit of a banger, I have to say it. I'm quite happy with it. As far as like songs in Eurosong goes, it's definitely one of the best songs we've probably ever had in Eurosong, in my opinion. I would just love to be drunk, dancing in Euroclub to this song, like honestly getting my life, like I think this would be a great song to win Eurosong, honestly. But I do have the fear that the staging is an issue because songs like that, they need to be staged exactly right. And, you know, we are in the Late Late Show this year. So I don't know. I'm very unsure of its chances. But overall, yeah, I think it's a good song. It's good. It's a good start for Ireland this year.
Melfast Mícheál, do you agree?
Yeah, there's definitely some things you said that I agree on. But what I have to say is that, like, first of all, what I will say is that I do like the lineup this year. I like how sonically diverse it is. And actually, this song is one of my three, not favorites, but the three songs, one of the three that I like. So I agree with you in the sense that this will be tricky to stage. We have seen songs like this in the contest before, which haven't had the best result, maybe due to staging. The Late Late Show isn't going to be the best platform to try stage that either. And I guess it just shows a different side of Ireland that, not this side, but I've wanted a different side of Ireland to be shown on the Eurovision stage. And I think this is it.
I thought of you, Melfast Mícheál, specifically with this song because it really gives me the vibes of Luca Hani, She Got Me. And I know that that was like your jam in 2019.
Dirty Dancing. Yeah, love that song.
This is a funny one for Connor and I, like delving into these songs. I feel like they've been our
guilty secret in a way. Yeah.
Excuse me. I found it really hard to hold back on them. For me personally, guys, I have to echo everything both of you have said, that I love the song. I'm streaming it quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's a huge step up for Ireland in Eurovision. It would be so different for us in Eurovision, but agree totally, my concern is how it's staged. Now, word on the street is there's dancers, which there needs to be, right?
Yeah, you can't have an up-tempo song without dancers, you know, especially in that Late Late Show studio. I think, you know, it's so intimate, it kind of look a bit awkward if he's just standing there on his own. So I do think he needs a backing dancer or two. But apparently there's four, so, you know, that's good.
Symmetry. That's
good. Same choreographer as Brooke last year, apparently, as well. So, you know, interesting times ahead. But I agree with you guys. I think everything that you said is true. Staging is going to be key for this, and not to make it look messy or unpolished or just awkward. I think that's going to be the real issue for it. But it is a bop. And that's, you know, that's something that Ireland needs more of. We've kind of gone down the dreary old ballad over the last few years. And I think a bop is definitely the right avenue to go down if we're going to make an impact. But
it's surely for Eurosong, it's at a disadvantage with that studio. Mm. I feel like I'm a broken record banging on about how much I hate the Late Late studio. But really, in all honesty, it is going to disadvantage it. But there's something about Aggie I really like and I really trust. Yeah. That's a big thing for me with an entrant. It was like with Brooke last year. I really trusted Brooke that she had a vision and that it was going to be polished and that there was going to be a package on the Turin stage, which there completely was in the end. And I feel like Aggie will do that. He seems to know what he's talking about just from speaking to him. He's got his head screwed on. He knows what he needs to do. He's a producer as well as a songwriter. So the whole intricacies of a song, how to stage it, how to perform it, he knows that.
Yeah.
So there, I have a good feeling overall about this one, I think.
Yeah. And you hear that in the production of the song, that he is in the business and knows what he's doing. Because, I mean, do I want to say it? I think this is what Only Love Survives wanted to be in 2013.
Yeah.
For real, like this.
Why are you laughing?
Because I just thought that comparison is probably the funniest thing ever. I just, I'm only imagining Borons and topless men right now. Like, I can't.
But I mean, sonically, that's what I think. That's what it wanted to be and sound like. And it never did, even after the revamp, even after the Windows Media Player music video. Like, it just, that's what it wanted to be. So I'm happy that we have a polished, modern, different sound that could possibly represent us.
Yeah.
There has been an argument out there that some people feel it's dated. What do we all think about that?
I agree too,
but I also have the opinion, like, people say this about a lot of songs, like Ulrika this year, for example, that it's dated, but I don't think that dated necessarily means bad. You know, dated doesn't equal bad. Like, some of my favorite songs,
it could be nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly. Some of my favorite songs are from the 90s, and obviously they're dated, but they're great, you know? So if you're talking back to a time where things were, I don't know, better, or like people enjoyed music in a different way, I don't think that necessarily has to be a bad thing. It's just, if it's a good song, it's a good song. Now, like, one thing that I'm kind of concerned about, because I've not actually heard myself what he's like live, but if he doesn't sound good live, this song will crash and burn, because, like, I feel like a song like this needs good vocals.
It's, yeah.
I definitely think so. So I hope he's good. Yeah.
I think the whole dated argument, I wouldn't necessarily agree. I feel like it is more, not generic, but something we're familiar with hearing rather than being, like, you know,
mainstream kind of.
Yeah, just a bit mainstream. Now, is it like the most inventive of that kind of category? No. So it's kind of basic in that form. But like, I don't think it would feel too out of place on the radio nowadays.
It could be on the Love Island episode, which makes it pretty current.
That's how I would kind of view it.
I wouldn't take that as a measure of success, you know, like James Newman. Like, come on, I'm sorry.
God love him.
I love him, but
guys, he's kind of hinted at in our interview with him that, you know, there might be a possible revamp coming if it works for the song. Do you guys feel that the song does need a revamp in any shape or form?
In terms of what is he talking about, a revamp? Because I was listening to it a lot recently and I was like, you could do with a nice little middle eight at the end. Let's bring the tempo back, or bring it down, and let's go back up then and shoot off. I don't know if he's talking about, like, is he revamping the structure of the song, or is he maybe going to do like production?
I think he was saying more about playing around with things. And we brought up the whole Irish element of things because obviously he's from a Gaeltacht area. So we were talking about, you know, the addition of Irish in the song somewhere, or some Irish element. And like, of course, he was open to it. But I think just more generally, he was talking about a revamp in any shape or form. So it's more so like, what would you do with it if you did think it was a revamp needed for it?
I suppose in terms of revamp as well, I do wonder, is the little thing maybe missing from this song kind of the moment? Because we know quite often with successful Eurovision entries, there is a moment. Often that can only come together when you have a visual or have staging, which we don't have much visuals for this song. But I think this could do well if we had something like Mon Zemmerlove Heroes sort of graphics. I'm not saying he needs to copy Mons, but something he could work with digitally to, I don't know, spice up the performance. I think Dancers is good. I'm happy there's Dancers, but I'd be interested to see, is there some sort of projection, something cool they could do just to up the
ante? Feel like a clock kind of like LED screen and be like, too good for your love, and then like a boom moment or something like that. But
too good for your love. Yeah. And there's kind of a ticking element.
Yeah.
Emer Walter, need it.
Hello.
We'll stage it.
You know how he said about the moment? That's kind of what I meant if he wants to revamp the structure. Like, because it's very, it's a lot. It's like the pace and the tempo, but bring it down and then like set back up again for the moment, you know, towards the end. Because I feel like it doesn't have that boom.
It's kind of like Violent Thing for Germany 2020. Remember Ben kind of reworked it for the revamp and brought it right in and then brought it back up again towards the end. It kind of needs that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so just a structural thing, but I don't think he's going to do it. And also the Irish, unless it makes sense, don't just throw it in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially not on a track like with this genre.
Definitely.
There's another track that I'd like, but not yet. We'll not talk about it just yet, but
there's been a big call for Irish language. It's been like bubbling under the surface the last few years. This year, you're seeing it online everywhere. And as we know, if you listen to this podcast, Ceolán Gráa, I'm the biggest advocate out there. But I agree with you, Melfest Micheál, like we need, I think people should be calling for Irish language songwriters and singers to be entering more than like an artist who already has written a song they're happy with to just insert it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my feeling. I think that could work with some songs, but I don't think we should be calling it just for every song
sort of thing,
you're a song.
Yeah.
But Malthus Mihal, as you mentioned, that could work with another act. And I'm wondering, is it this next one? And there's been a large bit of hype around this artist online. Her name is Jennifer Connelly. She is from Connemara in Galway, in Galway. And she has brought us her song Midnight Summer Night. Malthus Mihal, can you take us away with your thoughts?
I can. This is... Do I even have the words? This is my winner, first of all. This is what I would like to go to Liverpool for Ireland. I think it's so Irish, but I can't put my finger on what it is. Is it like the vocals?
I know what it is, but I'll tell you after. Go on, sorry.
It feels ethereal. It feels authentic. It feels current. Again, I keep talking about wanting our country to be seen in this light because I feel like the 2000s didn't do us any justice. We are now seen in, I feel like we're maybe seen in a time warp. So I want the world to see us for where we are now. I think this represents us as a country, as a music industry very well. It's showcasing this young talent. And yeah, it's haunting and ethereal and very Irish, but hopefully, Louise, you can tell me what it is that I'm hearing. I don't know what's making it sound Irish.
So Connor laughs at me every time I say this. You know, in the final minute where she starts yodeling. That's the way I describe it. It's like Dolores from the Cranberries.
Yeah.
It is.
Yodeling.
It's not yodeling, though.
It's not yodeling. But I love these.
You know what I mean by that, though.
I do.
Glad to have to put up with me on.
Yeah, literally. Glasgow Mihal, what are your thoughts on Connelly?
I don't even need to say it. I love it. Like, this is my favorite song. Maybe in your song ever, I'm gonna say it. I think it's brilliant. I think it's amazing.
And you love playing with numbers.
I love playing with numbers, is right. Yeah, but I love Midnight Summer Night. I just have so much to say about it. Like, I think the production is amazing, especially coming from an 18-year-old. Like, that is insane. I think the lyrical content, people are very confused about, but I think it's brilliant because it kind of, the song is about like how monotone life is during the pandemic. And, you know, like even just random things like curtains open, close my eyes, like you can feel like you're at different times, but time is so slow, but so fast at the same time. Like, it's kind of beautiful how she phrases things. And I think it's not supposed to make sense in a conventional way, which I just think is brilliant. Because I don't think she set out to write a coherent song for a chaotic time. I don't think that would make sense. But anyway, I'm really excited to see her on the Late Late because she did say she's going to add a vocal line, didn't she, when she talked to you guys? So I just can't wait. I'm so excited for it. I think she would be our best choice for Liverpool. I'm toying with that, like, as a whole, like, what we should send as opposed to my favourite. But I still think that she would be our best choice for many reasons. Because, for example, I think, like, it's our most authentic song in the national final. And in recent years, Eurovision has moved to a point where authenticity and artist integrity is really valued. And for Ireland this year, I think that's Connelly. Like, I think our choice is Connelly. I mean, there's arguments to be made for other songs as well. I do think so. So it won't be a disaster. Well, maybe a disaster, but it won't be a disaster for most of the songs we could send. So yeah, that's my thought from Midnight Summer Night.
Connor, take us away.
Oh, I love it as well. It's refreshing, but also familiar in a sense as well. It's not like in your face Irish, but has that Irish sound to it as well. Like Louise was saying earlier, the yodeling, as we have blatantly said, it's not yodeling, but that kind of Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan sounds quite familiar to like the Irish ear. It's just mysterious, warming at the same time. And it's just very relatable. Like the lyrical content of the song is so powerful. For me, it does need finishing. That's the issue for me. I do think that it is missing a big kind of, not wow moment, but that's something extra special. It's slightly repetitive for me, but like we're dealing with a demo. Like we're aware that it is a demo. So that's why it's kind of intriguing me to see what we're going to get next Friday night. to see what kind of is added, what's changed and stuff like that. So that's the only thing that's kind of holding me back on, you know, fully putting my support behind it as my winner. But I'm excited because I think out of the six songs, it's probably the one with the most potential with the revamp. But yeah, that's my opinion. Louise, do you agree? Or
Letra Mal and Del Rey. Wow. Love this. Connor and I heard that, we actually were together the first time we heard this a while back, and we had been listening to a bunch of songs in the collection, and when this came on we both just stopped and we both listened, and I don't think we said anything. And you know me, I can't shut up, like, so we both just listened, and then when it ended, I remember this so clearly. It's so weird how sometimes you have memories that are so vivid, and I think it must be because I was really touched by the song. We were sitting outside McDonald's in the car park, and I just remember Connor and I looking at each other and going, potential.
Yeah.
There's something there. I think that's what we said. Yeah. We said, there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
There, it has this, as you said, this mysterious quality, familiar yet mysterious, warming yet distant. It kind of has all of these yin and yang elements going on, only added by the fact that we have this real talent of an upcoming artist who we know quite little about. But in fairness, you can see the track cover and visuals has been all done by herself, that she's kind of a creative mind all behind it. It's all her in it, as you mentioned, Glasgow Mihal, like really, really authentic. This is honestly up there for me from the outset as a track. This is my top track also. I am very, very concerned about this in the Late Late Studio. Very, very, very concerned, because I think the camera angles are really what I'm concerned about. I think if you have this young singer standing at a mic, and if every element of the stage hasn't been thought about, if there's random graphics or random backing singers or just something that doesn't fit, I think it's going to throw the whole thing. Wide shots, I think that's not going to help the performance. This is a very intimate song. I think we need close angles. I think we need lots of facial expressions, smoke, dark colours with light shining through. And I don't know if we're going to get that in the Late Late Studio. I hate to be really pessimistic. But then it's sort of a case of, could you say, will it be good enough to push through? Kind of like with Brooke's performance last year. Like, okay, it wasn't perfect, but could we manage to push it through?
Yeah.
And get it to Liverpool. And this is my bloody issue with Late Late Show Eurosong, that like we have to think like this. Do you know?
Mm.
Anyway, that's a different discussion. That's all I have to say. Sorry.
No, I agree. I think this song, we need to create a mood with the stage, and we need to transport the listener, the viewer into this world, this ethereal, mysterious world that she, even from the album art, you can get a sense of what should be created on stage. And I do have the same concern as you. Will the general public tuning in that night see and get that potential straight away enough to pick up the phone and vote? It would be a shame to lose this based on the fact that our national selection,
is not to par. Yeah,
right. Yeah, let's go with that.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, it would be a shame.
But we were saying earlier as well, you know, she is relatively unknown to most people. She's a new artist coming to the scene, and of course we have some heavy hitters in the national final, as we'll discuss later on. Do you think that might hinder her as well in terms of voting and getting to support, because she's unknown to the public?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she herself went from like no views on YouTube to now, I think she's got over 25,000 for her song, which is amazing, obviously, to see, but she's got no base support. So personally, when it comes to wanting Conley to win, I don't think I'm relying much on the televote for that. I think I'm going to have to rely on juries, which is a scary thing considering Eurosong. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that if juries see that and they see the potential, that they will back her. But I'm putting no faith behind it. She herself, I think, is amazing. And in terms of staging, I fully agree with you guys. I think it needs to be intimate. I think it needs to be dark. I don't think it could be like starry behind her. Like it could be, I could be like a spotlight almost on her. And then the only time I would endorse a wide shot is when she's doing her yodeling. That's it. Anything else? No.
I love that the yodeling thing's taken off now. You were slagging me a minute ago, but now we're all used to it. No, I agree with you. Yeah, that makes sense, Micheál. Wide shot if she is yodeling.
Yeah, you mentioned Irish in the first song, but I think if we're ever going to place Irish into a song, it would only be this one. It would fit. She's from the area. It would be authentic to her. And I actually listened to this really good podcast called Eurovision, and they had this interview with her. And she has a history of what's the name of the
piano singing?
Yeah, so you know that could tie really nicely with it. Yeah, let's see. That's my hope. I would love an Irish verse or a chorus or something.
There is traditional elements in it. You can pick them out.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes sense that she's from a Gaelic region. And even that, I know we're joking calling it yodeling, but that part of the vocal does fit in with what happens in Shana's singing. So it's really interesting. She was great to chat to.
Oh yeah, great.
We were really lucky to get her on, actually.
Yeah. I think we had an exclusive there, but you know what?
She's a lovely girl. She has a lot of mystery around her, you know. She seems to just be loving the ride. And listen, her mammy is so sound. One of our number one supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Aww.
She's lovely. Hi, Anne-Marie.
That's so funny. Also, can we just shout out Conley's TikToks? Like her TikTok game, she's done what two, but they're strong. I'm a big fan of them. Keep going, Conley.
You need to stitch them or duet them, Micheál.
Yeah. Oh, recreate them. Right. I'll try. Yeah, I'll think about that.
Yeah.
So moving on now to our next song. And it is from probably the most worst kept secret in Eurosong history about their participation. We probably found out about June last year that they were very interested, but it is Wild Youth. We Are One. Now, Melfest Micheál, what do you think of We Are One? Is it the song that we needed from Wild Youth?
Maybe in 2015 or 2016. Yeah. In saying that, I like that we have them in the national final. I like their, I love their enthusiasm. I like that they're known in Ireland to represent the Irish music industry at the moment. You know, they're on the radio, they're touring, people know them. And I'm conflicted with this one because this could do a lot for the perception of the contest in Ireland and invite artists like them to take part in Eurosong in the future. But I just don't know if the song, we could qualify with it maybe, but, and it's my third out of these first three are the three that I like. But I just listening to their other tracks, this, you know, these songs telling me to be happy and telling me that we're all good. And, you know, I can't with them. They feel too, I just don't like them. If the lyrics were maybe different in the song, I could like it, but this is maybe what we needed in the early 10s or the mid 10s. But again, I go back and forth because I'm like, okay, it's a band. Ireland has a big band culture. We export a lot of really good bands, but it's for me, it's just the song. Because they look cool, they have a team, they know what they're doing. Their lead singer is so enthusiastic about Ireland. You know, you can hear I go back and forth with yes and no and yes and no. But I'd be proud if they went for us, but I just wish it was a different song. They talked on again, this podcast, Eurovision, about being in Stockholm writing another song. And this producer said, I've got this song. I wanted to hear that one. What did that sound like? But yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, very understandable. And Glasgow Micheál, what about you?
Like Micheál, I also am very mixed on this. I think Micheál's a bit more optimistic than I am. I love their enthusiasm. I think it's brilliant. I think it's amazing how we have a big band who's so open and happy to represent us in Eurovision. Like, I think that's amazing. And that's where my compliments stop. I think, yeah, the song is, it's just, it's, it says we're one, but it's not the one. It's really not. I'm sorry. It's just not. I think they find every cliche in the book and they put it in. And it's really sad because I really like the guys. I think they're lovely. But the song itself, every time I listen to it, for me, it gets worse because I'm just like, oh, this could have been, you know, it's no Champagne Butterflies. It could have been Champagne Butterflies part two, the remix. But I don't know. I just, every time I think about it, it just really upsets me because it really could be our song for Eurovision. It probably will be our song for Eurovision, I think. I think Wild Youth will win the selection, but I just don't see Europe taking the song well. I think people will look at it and be like, oh, look, another song about unity and happiness and all that. And Eurovision has got to the point where, as I said earlier, it's about authenticity. It's about, like, you know, again, artist integrity. But this song is so generic, and this could, anyone could sing this. Anyone could sing this. It's not. It doesn't tell me anything about Wild Youth. It doesn't tell me anything about Ireland. It's really sad because I do think this is going to win. In saying that, I do think that the music for the song, like, if we didn't have any lyrics, the song wouldn't be the worst. Like, it would be, I could bop along to it. And it's really funny, Michal, because you said you had three favourites. I also have three favourites, but this one's not in it. It's probably my fourth place. But yeah, I feel really let down by it because I was so excited for While You Send a Song. I really thought that it would be like a good song, maybe not my favorite because their genre is very poppy and I feel like I could like it but not love it, but this is in a word, underwhelming. So I feel bad for saying that because they're lovely people. So
yeah, to be honest, yeah, that's why you're here. Yeah, we mop up, Connor.
I don't know, like, this is the one that I'm just so conflicted about because, like, you guys were saying, they're such a lovely lads and I love them so much, but, like, you got to be honest about the song. And I actually do really like the song. I like five of the six songs that are competing in your song. I actually love, like, five of the songs this year and I would be happy with any of them representing us. But I just feel that this song doesn't match their other songs that they released for some strange reason. Like, I don't get the same Wild Youth vibe off it. Like, Glasgow Michal, you were saying, just feels a tiny bit generic. I feel like this would be the perfect, like, common song for, like, adult Eurovision, something like that. It fits in, like, with the Euros or, like, the World Cup, that kind of anthemic song. But is it competitive? I don't think so. I think staging, look, the production side of things, they do amazing because they got a great team. They got a record label behind them. So all that side of things would be perfect. But, you know, it's a song contest at the end of the day. The song needs to do justice. And is it one that would grab voters on a night, especially with the 100% televote? I'm not too sure. But I can see the staging, though. I feel like they're going to go down that Jake and Joe 2016 vibe of, like, you know, their album cover, it's all photos of everything. It's going to be like, we're inspirational, let's do this together. I just feel they're going to go down that route based on the album cover or the single cover for the song. And I'm just like, oh, is this, like you were saying, Melfas Michal, is it like 2013, 14, 15 kind of vibes? Like, we've moved on from that. I don't know if that's how we're going with We Are One. But Lou, what do you think?
Wild Youth fan over here. I've always loved Wild Youth. I love their recent song, Live Without You. I love Champagne Butterflies. I love Can't Stop Moving. I've loved pretty much all of their discography. And from the outset, they've always been quite, like, sassy. Like, they've got attitude, like, boom, boom, can't move on. On and on, you know, like they've got a bit of oomph to them, you know, they've got personality. So I think I agree in a sense with a lot of what you're all saying about the lyrically this song and the mood of this song, maybe veering off the track a little bit for what we're used to with Wild Youth. However, My initial thought hearing this was, I was a massive Glee fan, right? And I feel like a lot of people listening to the podcast probably were the same as me, grew up a little bit with shows like that. And this is giving like Glee original song. If you know, you know, okay? So yes, okay, it is that kind of like, we are all one, unity, celebrating our differences, celebrating uniqueness, all of that. I think if you're looking at it progressing to Liverpool, which as you guys have mentioned, it looks highly likely that they could get the ticket for Ireland. I think this could be like a lovely palate cleanser in a semi-final of like appealing to masses and kind of anthemic feeling. It came together a little bit more for me as well when we spoke to Conor O'Donoghue, one of the loveliest guys on the planet. So kind, so generous with his time, just really genuine, nice person, a great songwriter, so much time for him. It came together for me more when I heard Conor talking about his feelings with Eurovision, how there's people from other countries cheering on other countries and all these flags and this kind of thing. I thought, oh, that could be what pulls it together. If they use all the space on the stage, they come right out to the crowd, we have all the shots of the flags. That's where I could see it working and pulling up some televote points. It's not going to win Eurovision. It's not going to cross into the top 10.
What?
I'm being honest there with that. But I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that this could qualify. I could be wrong, but that is my initial feeling. I don't think this would be the worst entering the world. We sent Dying to Try it to Eurovision. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, Glasgow Mihal, but we did.
I don't like the song, it's fine.
This would be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think live as well, it's gonna will have that appeal of like with a click. And people were like, oh, I actually get this. But like you were saying though, Connor's a lovely fella and you learn more from the song, but the general viewer at home will not have that element of the song. They'll be hearing it for the first time on the night. They'll see the postcard. Commentators might talk about it. They might not, usually they're kind of slating things, so they probably won't say anything like that. And then they'll hear the song and that's it.
Okay.
It was like us last year with Brooke, you know, fans loved her, but on the night people are seeing her for the first time. So, you know, whether we like her or not, like the majority of people watching at home are viewing it for the first night and we'll judge it off that 3 minutes. It's not about their tours, their press packs, their anything like that. It's literally 3 minutes of the song and that's it. So I'm not too sure.
For me, it's given Denmark. It's like, it's given Denmark. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's giving Denmark. It can slide through. It's inoffensive.
Like,
it can,
Soldiers of Love, that kind of...
My mommy would be like, oh, Jesus, that's lovely. Must vote for them. Like, and my mommy loves the Danish entries. So, you know, maybe in a semi-final, it's not competitive. It's like, oh, well, I'll just vote for them as well. I don't know. I don't want it to represent us, but... the chances are likely and it could qualify, but I was just going to say, like, message songs are done and they have been done for a while. As Mihal said, it's all about authenticity. It's all like that sells, that shows, and that's rewarded. And this is just not it. They should rock up with one of their songs from an album if that's the case, and that would be more authentic and probably do better.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sad. I think that we're kind of hoping for a song that might qualify or might be the, you know, wild card qualifier. Like, it's, I think it's really sad. But I generally think they should do a Malta. Win your song, change the song and qualify. You know, yeah. I think it would work. Like, you know, I love Emma Muscat, but doing it Irolasco and she qualified, didn't she? That worked. So
it's only a matter of time before Emma Muscat was brought up.
I just slid that in there, didn't I? No, I mean, I really think they should do an Irolasco and send a different song that would have more potential, more meaning, something with a bit of divisiveness. Like, get some people to hate it, but get some people to love it, absolutely love it. And those people will be the ones that show out to vote for you, because we know they have a strong fan base in Ireland, but they're not really known throughout Europe. Maybe Champagne Butterflies is, but the name Wild Youth isn't really known itself. So I don't think they can rely on name recognition in Eurovision semi-final alone. So I genuinely think that if they win, change that song. Honestly, that's my opinion with it.
I'm here for that as well. I'm here for that.
The other thing, we're talking a lot about qualifying and results and stuff, and we have all, I think now we've all got our Eurovision strategist's hat on. The other thing also to say is, for me, this is quite high risk in the sense that, like, initially you think, oh no, it isn't, because they're a well-known band, they've got backing, they've got a record company, etc., management, all that. But it is high risk because there's a win-lose scenario here. Like, you send Adji or Connolly, it's kind of win-win, because it's like, okay, one win is that they do well, they qualify, they get a half-decent result. The other win is, okay, we didn't qualify, but we sent a pretty decent song and an up-and-coming artist got a great platform and maybe they'll come back to Eurosong at some point. Wild Youth, I sort of see it as a big win-lose, because, okay, it could be a big win. Even if they qualify and don't do amazingly in the final, that would still be a big win, I think, because you'd have other artists in Ireland going, oh yeah, well, geez, that fair play, and they qualified, that's great, they got us in the final, maybe I'll throw in a song for next year. But the big, big, big lose is Wild Youth going and not qualifying.
Yeah,
that could be a big nail in the coffin for us,
because that shuts the door on future artists with that same stature in Ireland going, ah, they didn't qualify, so why should I put myself through that?
And that makes me very, very nervous.
Yeah. And for me, I think that's that would be the likely outcome of things at this moment in time. And that's what frightens me. It's like, are we just shutting the door then on future big names, so to say, entering the contest? And that's not what we need at the moment, you know, because we're only getting around to the stage of seeing these big acts who are current, who are on the radio, who are everywhere, you know, on TV shows, everything like that in Ireland. We're only getting to that stage of seeing them come now. And if they were to win and not qualify, I think we're just back to square one of seeing these mediocre acts coming to the stage singing Melfest rejects and stuff like that. Do you mean? So I'm not too sure if that's the path we should be going down, you know, unfortunately. Yeah, and
also, even if they qualify and finish like 21st or I don't know, like, you know, within that area, is the everyday artist in Ireland thinking about, well, at least they qualified, you know, are they thinking like us, because we're thinking, well, we've qualified, that's a good sign. I don't know. I think they need to finish a lot higher up for artists to be like, oh, that was a good result. You know, I think the result, if they don't qualify and if they finish in the bottom end, is the same for me. I still think it's really risky, actually. This is so interesting you brought this up. Like, with Connolly, it could be win-win, you know, but at least we had a good song. At least we... But with them, there's so many negative results that could follow if they don't do well. And I can't see them doing well with that song. So let's do what Michal said and let's change the song. No, for real though, like, that's not out of... I think that could be a possibility. Take an album track or something, or that one you wrote in Stockholm with whatever.
It's just hard because I know that I think Connor's heart and soul went into that song. It's a hard one. It is.
It's tricky.
Well, I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility either, because, you know, we've seen by the additions to this national final, Orty doesn't mind spicing things up. So, like, you know, this isn't, you know, if the lads really listen to the fans and hear the push for a new song, it might be a possibility. Now, I think chances are slim, but it, you know, you can never rule it out. And I do agree with you guys that it probably would be the best idea to go with something that maybe is in their back catalogue that might not fit on an album, but they have there ready to go, and it sounds more them and matches the previous songs we've heard from them, like Champagne Butterflies. You know, this just doesn't sound like a Wild Youth song. It could be any band, it could be any artist. So I think that's the issue for me. But yeah,
I mean, in regards to, like, if they seriously did want to change the song, I don't really see that happening. I don't really see Michael Keighley being like, oh yeah, here lads, go on, change the song there. Like, you just won over all these other songs that competed, but you sure you go change that song? So, I mean, we could hope for that, but I think they should, but I don't see RTE allowing it personally.
It is difficult when you have people spending money and voting. Like, you have to think about the broadcaster feeling at kind of an integrity in that sense, that you could have then a backlash of, but we voted for that song. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of food for thought here, really.
Yeah.
It's not fully straightforward, I think, with Wild Youth. It'll be interesting.
Okay, everyone, there we have it. That is the first part of our Eurosong 2023 panel. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to Micheál and thanks to Micheál. We, of course, discussed Agi, Too Good For Your Love, Conley, Midnight, Summer Night, and Wild Youth, We Are One. There is a part two, though,
yes,
right, Connor?
Yes, absolutely. Part two is available now, so head over if you want to hear what we thought about the remaining three songs and also those all-important votes. Who have you decided to crown the Eurovision's Eurosong 2023 champion? Exciting times.
See you in part two. Eurovision.